This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Still more people buying.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. It's the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiatakis in for Bill Radke, who's back on Monday. The government said today retail sales were up in April over last year, and revised figures show prior months saw bigger gains than we thought as well. We're going to talk to an analyst about what that means coming up after we do the numbers. Where's Wall Street? The markets are down right now. The S&P off about 1.5%, the NASDAQ nearly 2%, and the Dow off now 129 points, 10,653. European shares are off as well, anywhere between 1% and, in the case of French shares, 4% for the CAC 40 in Paris. And Asian shares tumbled as well today, anywhere between 1% and 2%. Oil, by the way, is below $74 a barrel. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live from the Big Apple this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Now, markets are off. The oil's lower today, yet we have this good news on the retail front. These are good numbers, Chris. Why the sour attitude?
Yeah, these are really good numbers. You know, spending cooled a little bit in April, but in the last 3 months, we've got retail sales growth at a 10% annual rate. Consumption is very strong.
So consumption is strong. I mean, along with these retail numbers, we got word that industrial production rose in April as well. A lot of that companies who bought all this machinery and equipment. What happens after all this equipment's bought?
Okay. You know, what's going on is you've had orders growth of more than 10% for equipment by companies who are investing in productivity and so on. Those orders are starting to stack up. And, well, the next step is that companies have to actually hire someone to build the stuff. We're starting to see that, too. We've seen it in the first 4 months of this year. Manufacturing hiring stronger than at any time in the last expansion. And that job growth is part of what's fueling the retail sales growth.
So why are we down 1.5%, 2% in markets today?
That's all about Greece. You know, the fear is that even after throwing a $1 trillion rescue package at the Greek crisis, the Europeans still haven't put a lid on the crisis. And here, the reason it's affecting us in the U.S. is sort of fear of fear, the idea that investors might be scared off and starve the economy of capital.
Can we have an economic recovery here, Chris, independent of what's going on in Europe, quickly?
Oh, absolutely we can. You know, if you look back over time, other countries are very sensitive to what happens to U.S. GDP, but U.S. GDP usually is not sensitive to what happens overseas. We're still an economy that's driven domestically, and with consumption as strong as it is, we're in good shape.
Chris Lowe joining us from New York. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Today, Congress is getting in on the numbers game, looking into how much oil is actually leaking into the Gulf of Mexico from that failed BP rig. And new reports say it could be 10 times the number already reported. 5,000 barrels a day were spilling from the well. That's what we've heard. Yet, in an interview with the British newspaper, the BP CEO, Tony Hayward, says the oil leak is relatively tiny. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us from London, where the British oil giant is headquartered. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
What did this CEO actually say?
Well, in a generally upbeat interview with the Guardian newspaper, Tony Hayward is quoted saying, "The Gulf of Mexico is a very big ocean. The amount of oil we're putting into it is relatively tiny." As you say, this comment seems particularly ill-judged, given these new estimates suggesting it could be as much as 50,000 barrels a day that are spewing into the sea, not the original official 5,000. Nick McGregor is an oil company analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says Hayward's comments won't endear him to many Americans and could further damage BP.
this is now getting to the stage where it's reflecting on BP's future. It's no longer an issue of how well they deal with this. It's an issue of how they're perceived by one of their largest markets, after all, in the USA.
All right, perceived. Well, besides perception, Stephen, this leak is obviously costing BP a lot of money. I mean, do we have any idea?
As of yesterday, the company has spent $450 million fighting the spill. It's now costing more than $30 million a day, five times the cost in the early days of the disaster.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By LendingTree.com, tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
Seven more states today formally join a lawsuit against the Obama administration's health care overhaul. That makes a total of 21 protesting a requirement that everyone buy health insurance. So can the government force us to buy something if we don't want it? Reporter Jill Barshay has more.
The new law requires virtually all Americans to carry health insurance by 2014. Robert Muse is an attorney at the Thomas More Law Center. The group has also filed suit. Muse says the government is allowed to regulate interstate commerce, but
that doesn't necessarily mean that the federal government can force people to engage in commerce, i.e. purchase things or engage in a commercial transaction.
It's rare that the federal government has ever made us buy stuff. Constitutional lawyer Ian Millhiser at the Center for American Progress had to go back to the Second Militia Act of 1792.
Which required a significant percentage of the U.S. civilian population to purchase guns and bayonets and other military equipment just in case they were ever called up for military service.
Millhiser says there's good reason for the new law, so that people don't wait until they're sick before they buy insurance, or else premiums for the rest of us will go up. I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
And finally, no word on whether there'll be another season of NBC's crime show Law and Order. Yeah, that one. The show's been on the air for two decades now, but ratings are down big time for Law and Order. NBC puts out its fall season Sunday. Some wonder whether Law and Order will continue to prosecute those offenders. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. And I'm tweeting as well, Chiatakis MMR in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.